Good afternoon, and welcome to Our Recourse, a one-hour radio show named in honor of the Immaculate Mother of God, hosted by Brian Gale. As Pope Francis says, Jesus Christ is the mercy of God, and as our beloved Church has long taught, His Mother is our ever-faithful recourse to that mercy. So sit back for the next hour and enjoy Our Recourse with Brian Gale.
Hi, this is Brian Gale. On August 29, the Feast of John the Baptist, this is Our Recourse, a one-hour live radio show. We have a terrific guest for you today. And our sponsor, McGuire Hayden Real Estate. We'll tell you all about them a little bit later. Our guest today is Neil Lozano, and he has been a guest on In His Sign Network for a number of years. If you ever were to pick a guy that would fade into a crowd, who would be the last guy you would expect to be taking on the devil, I think it would be Neil Lozano. His ministry has proven to be extraordinarily powerful, uniquely so, if I may say so. And we're going to talk to him about that in his great standard book, Unbound, and the five keys to deliverance, and how he balances the whole thing with sacred scripture and healing and prayer and all the rest of it. But let me just tell you quickly about his background. Neil has a master's degree in religious education from Villanova. He did lead an evangelical outreach to students at Villanova for 18 years. He's been married for 43 years to Janet. I know Janet. She's a lovely, lovely lady. They have four sons, 12 grandchildren. They live here locally in Ardmore. Neil has over 40 years of pastoral experience in helping people find freedom in Christ. And as I mentioned, he's the author of Unbound. You've probably heard about it if you haven't read it. The subtitle is A Practical Guide to Deliverance from Evil Spirits. He is an international speaker in high demand, and I can tell you that he has spoken in seminars and conferences throughout the world, including places like Poland and Latvia, Slovakia, Ukraine, Haiti, Turkey, the Sudan, Uganda, Kenya, Rwanda, and many, many others. Out of this ministry, he and Janet began the Heart of the Fathers ministry in 1997, so it's coming up on 20 years. And the ministry is dedicated to equipping people throughout the world to take hold of the freedom they have been given in Christ and to help others to do the same by using the principles of the five keys. Neil is the executive director for the Heart of the Fathers ministries, and his son Matt works side by side with him. I should tell you also that he has written 9 books in total, and I urge you to go to his website, The Heart of the Father, and look at some of these books if you haven't got a chance to read them all. The Older Brother Returns, Resisting the Devil, The Unbound Ministry Guidebook, Abba's Heart, his newest, 3 children's books, Will You Bless Me, Can God See Me in the Dark, and What Can I Give God, on and on and on. Just a remarkable man with an unbelievably hundredfold fruitful ministry. Neil, we are delighted to welcome you to Our Recourse today.
Really delighted to be with you, and thanks for such an enthusiastic introduction.
Well, the first question I want to ask is, what's a nice guy like you doing in a ministry like this?
Well, back in 1971, I had an encounter with Jesus and was filled with the Holy Spirit, and my life was transformed. When I say transformed, is He gave me His grace, and then day by day I walked it out and saw His transforming power at work. And when you've been given something, you have to give it away. You know, if you don't give it away, you lose it. And that's not the purpose, but I just I knew I was given a treasure, and I just have always wanted to share that with others. And for so many years, it was simply an issue of bringing people to a commitment to Jesus, a decision for Him, and praying for the filling of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Spirit. And yet, as time went on, you know, with all the people that we were helping, we realized that after the initial conversion, there needed to be deeper conversion, and there were issues in people's lives and bondages in people's lives that oftentimes would rob them of what they received in the beginning. I know our friends in the Ukraine, they had started schools of evangelism and Christian life, and Father Peter there, he had the whole program for evangelization the first summer, and the next summer, when many of them came back, you know, they were all beat up, wounded. Some of them didn't even make it back to the next summer's course. So they started to incorporate Unbound and the Five Keys into their whole school, so because they recognized that, you know, after our initial conversion, the Holy Spirit's working in us and deepening that conversion and uncovering the darkness and the lies that we've grown up living. And so it's really connected. It's just really, for me, it's just part of evangelization.
Are you at liberty, Neil, to discuss with our listeners, at least to let them in on what the original circumstances were and how it led so directly, maybe indirectly, to this astonishing ministry?
The original circumstances. Well, as I said, it was just a desire to help people. And back in the 70s, we ran into some situations where people, there was manifestations of evil as we prayed. And, you know, trying to think what story I should tell you. But I remember that one situation was we had someone over to our house, and they were on the phone in the next room, and they were talking to their mother. And as he talked to his mother, his voice became very angry and then enraged, and then his voice sounded like another voice. And when he came out of the room, he was quite embarrassed, and he said, "I need help. I need deliverance." And so, you know, we thought, being young and I guess bold, we said, well, we read one book on deliverance. I think it was only one book out at the time. And so we said we'd pray for him. So that Friday, he came over, and we had prayed and fasted all day. So I did what it said in the book. I commanded any spirit that was present to leave. And immediately his face began to change and twist and become very evil looking. And so fortunately my wife was there, and she said, "It's hatred." And, you know, as she said that, I could say, "Well, of course it's hatred. Look at it." But so I gave the command, and I commanded hatred to leave, and immediately his face came back to normal. And we said, "Praise God," and we wanted it to be over. So we went out and celebrated with some pizza. But the point of that story is that our knowledge, understanding was so incomplete at the time. We didn't understand if hatred is present, so is probably resentment and bitterness, maybe a spirit of anger, and maybe violence, maybe a spirit of murder. And we didn't understand how to help someone to forgive and repent. And especially, you know, in relationship to a mother, son. And so there was just a lot we didn't know, and we had several other experiences like that in the 70s. And I just felt like, you know, I just asked the Lord. I said, "Lord, you know, I would prefer that you'd send people that need deliverance to somebody else."
Wow.
And I'll continue to pray for healing. And it wasn't the confrontation that bothered me. It was the fact that I didn't see people having lasting freedom. I didn't see that long-lasting freedom. I saw weeks or months later, you know, it resurfaced, and we didn't understand. We didn't understand how to get to the foundation, the basic reason why an evil spirit would find the ability to rest, to oppress or obsess a believer, someone that believed in Jesus.
Well, if I'm understanding correctly, there was a circumstance in your life. Somehow the spirit entered at that point, brought you a measure of relief or healing. You wanted to give back. You ended up leading souls in an evangelical outreach, a ministry that involved sacred scripture. It was ecumenical in nature. One thing leading to another, some of the people would come to you from time to time, including the person you just talked about, for help. And as providence would have it, you were being led into a world that you probably hadn't much considered at the moment when you made your pledge, Lord, I'd like to give back in a generous way for what you have just given me. And step by step, you have been drawn ever deeper into this world, another world, so that our Lord can bring his healing power to unbind souls. And as a consequence of that, you have tapped into something extraordinary in our time, and that is the pervasive oppression of souls throughout the entirety of the world, especially the Western world, but not exclusively the Western world. And the only mediation for that known to man, knowable to man, is through the healing power of Jesus Christ and his deliverance ministry, which you and Janet now exercise. Do we understand that correctly?
Yes. And one thing I could have inserted was that I went through my own struggle for years, feeling like I needed something, that I wasn't free as much as free as I should be, having known the Lord and walking with the Lord. And I just felt like something was holding me back. And so I'd often go to somebody that gave a talk on deliverance and say, I think I might need deliverance. And every time they would say, oh, don't give the devil so much credit. And I wasn't trying to do that, but I trusted, and I just went back to the scriptures I knew. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you, and you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And they were important. They're important scriptures to believe and to know. But I just felt there was something that else I needed. And then years went by, in the mid-80s. And I was at a conference, and the Lord touched me deeply. And then I went to this man who I knew prayed for deliverance. He was actually a priest. And I asked him to pray for me, and he asked me a few questions, and he agreed to pray for me. And I remember at the appointment, I was sitting across the table from him, and he prayed for a moment, and he said, "Do you feel that?" And I said, "Yeah, I feel that. I felt something on my chest, but it seemed so familiar to me. It seemed like it belonged. It just seemed like it was part of me." But in that moment of grace, it was the first time I said, "I feel that." So it became a that and not a me. And then he said, "What happened to you?" And I responded, probably not from my memory so much, but just kind of from the depths of my soul. I said I was humiliated in front of the class in first grade. And so he led me through a couple of prayers. I actually don't even remember. I think it must have been forgiveness is involved. And then the next thing I know, he said, "I command the spirit of rejection to leave." And in that moment that he commanded that spirit to leave, I felt this thing that I identified on my chest. It just kind of lifted off of me, and it went off of my head, and I felt the oppression leave. And I knew all those years I was right, that there was something that I needed that I wasn't getting, and I couldn't get through healing prayer, and I couldn't get through faithfulness and prayer and service, and you know, it was just something that was holding me in bondage. And I think that's really, as I look back, it wasn't planned this way, but as I look back, Unbound Ministry is really designed to help people that would never think they qualify for deliverance, or may not think they need deliverance, or because the work of the enemy has been exaggerated, or it's been the only way it's been communicated is through the extreme cases of demonic possession and evil manifestations, and so there isn't anyone in sitting down the pew from you in church that doesn't have a story to tell and doesn't have something in their life that they need to be set free from. And because it's part of our inheritance, it's Colossians 1:13, it says, you know, we have been delivered from the kingdom of darkness and brought into the kingdom of the beloved Son. And so it's part of our baptism, part of our conversion, to be taken out of darkness and brought into the kingdom of the Son, in whom he loves. And so for many of us, there's just things that have been, lies that have been swallowed, things that we've that have come into our life, maybe early on in our life, where there's been trauma or situations where we've responded to and in ways that have just opened the door to the enemy. And these things need to be named, and we need to be set free, because we're the people of God. Jesus has come to set us free.
You know, it's one of the great ironies to me that there is such a high level of what you're talking about in families today, families across the country and world. And there is such a pronounced emphasis in the Gospels themselves on Jesus' ministry of deliverance. It is almost impossible to read the Gospels and not come away with a sense that the first aspect of healing of his ministry was the casting out of evil spirits, followed by physical, emotional, and other healings, if I haven't overstated that. And yet today, Satan has done such an extraordinary job over two generations in particular of convincing the world he does not exist, and those who say that he does are, I guess they would call it alt-right, alternative hard right in the Catholic faith today, meaning they are ultra-traditionalists who really just don't understand the way God truly is, or even that there may not be a God in the sense that we all perceive him or have been taught him to be. And so we have many families limping through life where there is a pervasive oppression within the family and within many of the individuals as a consequence of that. And yet the gospel, the proclamation of the gospel, contains a very heavy, if I dare use the word, emphasis on exactly this aspect of casting out evil spirits from Christ.
Mm-hmm. That's right. The people in the Gospels, when people came to Jesus, the evil, the darkness, was exposed by the light. Light always wins out over darkness. Light expels darkness. So when they came to Jesus, there would be these manifestations, these cries, the deep woundedness where the enemy dwells is exposed, and so right there, there's this deliverance, this driving out of the enemy that goes on. But for many of us, and we come to Jesus over time, or even you might have a moment of conversion, like I did. Many people have a moment of knowing the Savior, knowing his love personally, a moment where it all becomes real, that grace of conversion, And yet, partially because of our understanding of life and our lack of understanding of spiritual realities, the next part where there's a greater revelation of Jesus exposing the darkness in our lives may take a long time. It may take maybe hidden from us our whole lives, because we've never understood how to cooperate and to make a response to what he's doing as he's working in us to set us free. Because, you know, Jesus, you know, we talk a lot about deliverance and healing, but, you know, at the bottom, at the base of it is that Jesus came to set us free, you know, free to belong to him, free to know the Father, free of our sins, free of all bondage. You know, he came to set us free. Excuse me.
Well, we can't very well be free if we're bound, which brings us to unbound. How did you codify all of this? At what point in your ministry did you realize that there were certain keys that if they were utilized properly, dare I say it, in a semi or quasi-formulaic form, that there could be an unbinding of these spirits in Jesus' name, and that people could exercise a greater degree of freedom?
Well, over the years, you know, I read lots of books on deliverance, and I had some experience as well. But it was just a little bit messy because I didn't know how to really close all the doors in a person. I don't want to say I close the doors, but help the person close all the doors in their life to the enemy. And so we knew that people needed to come to Jesus and confess their sins, and we knew that people needed to forgive. We knew that people needed to renounce the enemy and take authority. What we didn't know is how to put that together in a simple way to help people make a response and make an expression of their will, which is so important, a verbal expression of your will in the name of Jesus. And so what we learned is to help people to forgive, not just tell them they need to forgive, or they say, yeah, Lord, please forgive me for not forgiving my mother. I want to forgive. Not just calling them to desire and know how important it is, but to actually walk with them and to help them to forgive. And so what we do is is we listen to a person tell their story, beginning with, what's the problem right now? And then we ask about when they were small. What was it like with mom and dad when they were little? And the enemy's work in our life always repeats itself. So, if you see something going on now in a believer's life, then it's chances are that it's a repetition of something earlier, or at least the foundation is earlier for this oppression to go on now. So as we listen to their story, we take some notes according to the five keys, which are repentance and faith, forgiveness, renunciation, authority, and the Father's blessing. And so we people sometimes have never been able to really forgive because nobody's ever validated their story. Nobody's ever really listened to them without judgment, and listened to them with compassion, listened to them and really let them tell their story about what it was like. As we take our notes, then we go over our notes with someone, and we say, well, for the first key, I'd like to lead you in a prayer of surrender to Jesus. You know, if somebody has never experienced God's love before, you know, we're going to spend a little more time on that. But someone that really knows the Savior, really has encountered Jesus, it's going to be a recommitment, a surrender to Jesus. It's going to be asking the Lord to forgive them for things that may have never been confessed in confession. Like, for instance, self-hatred. You know, someone can be living with self-hatred but never think to take that to the priest. And so, you know, we'll say, so, Lord, please forgive me for rejecting myself and hating myself. Please forgive me for all the ways I've been angry with you about the way my life has been going. And please forgive me for blaming you for the stuff that has happened in my life. And lead them to, you know, a brief expression of repentance and surrender to the Lord. And then the second key is forgiveness. And so we've listened to the story. We may have found out that the dad was an alcoholic, which we know that he's likely been emotionally absent. And we've asked whether or not he had time with them, and we've tried to get the idea of what the relationship was like with mom and dad, and you know, just what's the foundation. And so, but there might also be molestation, there might also be rape, there might be bullying in school, there may be humiliation times in various ways. There may be people that judged them, rejected them, fired them unjustly. So along with, under the second key of forgiveness, we've listened to the story, and we may have five or six people that we want to lead them to forgive. But the deepest one is always mom and dad. And so it's in the name of Jesus, I forgive my dad for not being there, or for not being the dad I needed him to be. I forgive my dad for being emotionally absent. I forgive him for his drinking and his anger and his rage. I forgive him for the time that he hit my mom. In the name of Jesus, I forgive my dad for the day that he said I would never amount to anything. Mm. And he called me worthless. I forgive him in the name of Jesus. And so we help the person use the words that are powerful. Because most of us don't want to go there. We just want to say, my dad and I have a good relationship right now. And I've forgiven him for all the things that have happened. And they don't want to go there because they love their dads. And we say, well, no, we're not here to judge your dad. Believe your dad did the best that he could. We just want to go into your heart and what your heart was like when you were a kid and how you interpreted it and how you were wounded. And from that place, use your voice, express your will by the power in the name of Jesus to forgive.
Neil, hold that right there. We have to break for commercials. I want to come back to it and the other three keys. This show, our recourse, is brought to you by McGuire Hayden Real Estate. This is a company that is one of the Delaware Valley's most respected commercially integrated real estate investment and operating firms, I'm told by many. The principals, some of whom I'm sure you know, Jim McGuire, Tony Hayden in particular, are highly accomplished businessmen and well-known benefactors of the many Catholic causes that are so familiar to the Archdiocese of Philadelphia and actually beyond. Hayden McGuire operates and owns over 4 million square feet of what is widely considered to be Class A commercial real estate here in the Mid-Atlantic region. Tenants will tell you that McGuire Hayden are unusually good landlords. They're always willing to work closely with them to find and configure and, if necessary, reconfigure commercial office space to better fit their needs. And I can tell you firsthand that each of them has a genuine commitment, this is Jim McGuire and Tony Hayden, to Catholic education, which each of them credits in large measure for their own great success. Jim McGuire, as some of you probably know, is one of the founding fathers of Cristo Rey, a Catholic high school for inner city students. And if you can believe it, he has funded scholarships personally for over 3,000 young people, and they're known as the McGuire Scholars. And he's also the founder of the unique McGuire Hayden Intern Program for high school seniors whose families live below the poverty line. The way it works is each intern gets a chance to work one day a week at McGuire Hayden in exchange for full tuition at a private high school. Tony Hayden, an outstanding young man, is a co-founder and chairman of the board of Regina Angelorum Academy in Ardmore. He is far more importantly a husband and the father of five terrific young children. The Regina Angelorum Academy, of which he is the chairman, as I mentioned, is an authentically Catholic classical education. There are now 130 students beginning in September, up from 35 10 years ago. This is the 10th year. And it runs pre-K through 8 grades. It is part of the Regina Academies network. And I can also mention that McGuire Hayden provides jobs for over 20 men and women, almost all of whom are graduates of Catholic schools here in the Philadelphia region. So they are just two great people. It's a wonderful firm, and I'm happy and proud to say that they are the sponsors of Our Recourse. Incidentally, Our Recourse, of course, is named in honor of our Blessed Mother's favorite prayer, according to her own words to St. Catherine Laboure. O Mary, conceive without sin, pray for us who have recourse to thee. So if you're wondering why the show is called Our Recourse, that's the reason. And now a word from In His Sign Network.
Hey, this is Maria Richardson. I've been working in church ministry for many years, and I want to take this opportunity to thank God for Kathleen McCarthy. Kathleen is an amazing woman of God who has been blessed with many gifts and talents for his service. She is so connected to Jesus, and his Holy Spirit speaks through her in so many ways, through her words, her actions, her prayers, and her wisdom. Kathleen has been an inspiration and a mentor to me personally for so long, and it is a great joy to know that In His Sign Radio has allowed her to become a blessing to so many people. She is a gift that must be shared, and I, for one, am very grateful. God bless you.
To you, our faithful family of listeners, no words can express how much we appreciate your standing in the gap with us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio. It is truly your amazing prayer power, your undaunting commitment that has enabled us to stay on the air, no doubt about it. Be assured of our daily prayers, not only for you, but for your families as well. We pray that God will continue to bless you as you bless us. To join us and become a ministry partner, visit our website at inhissign.com or give us a call at 610-527-2900.
Okay, we're back with Neil Lozano. He is the executive director, Heart of the Father Ministry, a deliverance ministry based here actually in Philadelphia, Ardmore, Pennsylvania, to be particular, specific. And it's a ministry that is really all but worldwide, as we mentioned at the top of this. And we were just going through this unique formulation of prayer of deliverance, which Neil and his wife Janet have codified over 40 years of their ministry, or many of the 40 years that they've been in ministry. We talked about the first key, repentance and faith. We were just wrapping up the second, which is forgiveness. We're going to talk about the third, renunciation, in just a minute. But Neil, before we do, I have a question on repentance. It's such an easy word to say. What does it involve? Is it just merely the saying of, Lord, I am sorry, please forgive me? and heal me of this wound and allow me, please, to go forward unbound? Or are there things associated with the act of repentance?
Recently I heard someone say, repentance is, I have to think of it exactly, but they said, repentance is saying you're sorry with a plan.
Wow, that's so, very good.
You know, that wasn't the exact words, but it really struck me that it's not just the words, it's just not the moment of repentance, it's having a plan. And that means to change your ways, to change your life.
Well, you know, if I can, that gets to something very, very important, I think, and overlooked in this year, Jubilee Year of Divine Mercy. There is a pervasive understanding that God is love, which He is. God is all-merciful, which He is. And God forgives me for any and all sins, not that I commit that many, and that there are two last things, not four. There is death, and then there is heaven. When in fact the church for about 80 generations, 2,000 years, has taught that there are actually four last things. There is death, there is judgment, and then there is heaven or hell, one or the other, often accompanied by a period of purgation of undetermined length, if in fact you're worthy of heaven. But there is a sense that not much of that is required in our time. And even this notion of God being all-merciful sort of relieves me of any burden of having to do anything, including say, I'm sorry. And it seems to me, and correct me if I'm wrong, Neil, that that could be a possibly tragic misinterpretation of the reality of the spiritual life.
Well, I think, you know, I think conversion starts with, it starts with becoming aware of our own poverty and our need. And when people come to us, they're coming from a place of awareness of their need, that they haven't been able to overcome this problem, and it's just too big, and it, there's only one way out, and that's by the grace of God, that's by the action of the Savior. So repentance isn't just turning away from the sin, but it's choosing Jesus. And not just choosing Jesus, but choosing to have your mind and your thoughts and your life transformed by Him. So and John Paul II defined conversion as accepting the saving sovereignty of Christ and becoming His disciple. So, and I think what you're pointing to is that it's the encounter, the decision, is the first step in a lifelong relationship with Him as His disciple. And so we choose Jesus as Lord. But one of the things that we do run into a lot is that people have been for so long trying so hard to be better, and they've missed the grace of God. That's the foundation for them to be better, to live better. And to really know that He's with them and He's going to enable them and to have confidence. You know, sometimes when we fall into sin, we just beat ourselves up so much. And we have to remember that Jesus died for us while we were still in our sins. And His death, even, you know, and it's not just in the past or when I came to Him or when I go to confession. But His death for our sins is there every moment, every day. And so we need to pick ourselves up and thank Him and confess our sins, thank Him, and having our mind changed and be determined to make resolve. And if it's serious sin, to go to confession. And that whole act of going to the priest and kneeling, and that whole act is a deeper expression of how serious you understand what you've done has been. And in it, you get the grace that that encounter with Jesus through the priest, and the grace of absolution. So repentance is an ongoing experience, it's daily, ongoing conversion, where we, you know, metanoia means a change of mind that changes our life. And sometimes we haven't had our minds changed about the mercy of God, so we are so discouraged about changing our life. So those are a few thoughts that, you know, I can throw out to you about repentance. But yeah, in a situation where you have never confessed it, see, there's a difference between confession and repentance. Confession is giving expression and asking God to forgive you and telling him you're sorry. You know, repentance is the whole act of turning and conversion. And so, but in an unbound session, we're really talking about helping the person make an act of the will of coming before God and giving specific expression to something they maybe have never expressed before to him.
Well, that brings us to the third key of renunciation, doesn't it? Renunciation, which I think kind of flows naturally out of this whole idea of repentance and forgiveness, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. Because, you know, connected to our unforgiveness is all kinds of openings to the enemy, a spirit of unforgiveness, resentment, bitterness, hatred, judgment, criticism, all kinds of things can just rest in that specific thing themselves, but there's a whole host of other things, like how you interpreted what happened or what didn't happen to you as a child can leave you with a pervasive sense of unworthiness or worthlessness, or believing that you'll never get it right, that everything's your fault, that you're responsible for everything. I mean, the numbers of ways we can interpret what's happened to us, apart from the gospel truth, apart from the love of God, is just it's multitude. And so, as we listen to the person, we really want to hear their hearts and hear what it is. How is it they interpreted it? You know, my dad said I would never amount to anything. I just believe that I'm always striving, I'm always working so hard to be perfect, to overcome that. And so striving and drivenness sometimes can be born, you know, and corrupted and taken hold of by the enemy. Things that people would never think to confess because they're not on the list. I remember, you know, the sins I used to confess before I had an encounter with the Lord. It changed, you know, after, and a lot of times those things are hidden from you, and so what we do is we listen to the person's story, and we help them name the spirits or the lies that are at work in their life, and help them to understand that in the name of Jesus, they have authority. They don't have to listen, believe, or live out of these lies anymore. They can, you know, in his name, have the power of those lies broken. Now, it doesn't mean that the habit might still be there, or the weakness might still be there, but so many of us are under the power of it, like I was under the power of rejection. Not just my nature is kind of quiet, I'm more of an introvert. It's not just that. It was something much, much bigger that was just resting on my life. And so through renunciation in the name of Jesus, we identify it, we name it, and we break its power.
Which brings us ultimately to this authority, the fourth key, and which leads, of course, to the final, which is the Father's blessing. Maybe you could just outline each of those for our listeners.
Yeah, being a child of God means I have authority. I carry my Father's authority, just as the prodigal got the ring. You know, we get the ring. We get the rule over our lives. And so in Jesus' name, and the way we do it in the context of Unbound, is we would say to the person, just be quiet, be aware of any thoughts that come to your mind, and then we just quietly but firmly say, in the name of Jesus, I command any spirit that George has renounced, any lie that he's renounced, to leave right now in Jesus' name. And we see extraordinary things happen, and oftentimes things come to their mind that they never thought of, or deeper things that they need to deal with, and it takes us to a new level of freedom and deliverance. And then the final key is the Father's blessing. And so putting these, we had a lot of these parts throughout the years, but it was putting them together into a way of ministry and a way of reproducing by teaching others how to minister is what has made Unbound so such a grace for so many people. And so it's the Father's blessing that we used to just pray for a filling of the Spirit, but we came to understand that every design of the enemy is to rob you of your relationship with the Father. The original sin in the garden was basically a rejection of God as Father. You know, I don't trust you. I can't trust you. I'm going to do it my own way. You're not a good Father. And when Jesus came, he came to bring us home to the Father. He came to reveal the Father. So we see that the healing that the Lord wants to bring into our lives is a restoration of the Father's love through Jesus by the Holy Spirit into our lives, giving us what we maybe never received. Well, what we never received from our parents. You know, many of us have wonderful fathers and wonderful mothers, but they're all sinners, and none of them could fully represent God the Father's love. And so there's a hole in everyone's heart that needs to be filled by the love and mercy of the Father. So we teach people how to pray for people to receive the blessing of the Father.
You know, one of the things that you can't help but notice in the gospel is the apostles were obviously given this gift of deliverance and exercised it, but were quite astonished at one point when they discovered that they were powerless over at least one instance in one individual. And they went to our blessed Lord and they said, "What gives? What's up with this? We couldn't drive this this demon out of this man." And he said, "Well, some can only be driven out through prayer and fasting." My question to you, Neil, for our listeners is, have you found yourself in that circumstance where you and your prayer partners were unable to deliver an oppressive spirit within an individual or two or more in your own ministry?
There's one point that's important, I think, is that there's another passage in another gospel, same question, and Jesus said, you know, what's required is faith. And there's a connection between prayer and fasting and faith, and that when we live a life of prayer and fasting, our faith increases and we walk in faith at another level. So there's a certain level of faith that's involved that is built up and developed through a life of prayer and fasting. So this part of that scripture is a life of prayer and fasting that Jesus was living, that he didn't require of his disciples at the time. But there's also the fact that prayer, interceding for someone who is in bondage, may require prayer and fasting specifically. And yes, there are people that come to us that we're not able to help, but we're not able to help completely. Some people go away so happy that they've walked in forgiveness and renunciation, they took hold of their freedom, yet in the end there's still an oppression in their life that hasn't been taken care of yet. And for some, it's a matter of ongoing conversion and readiness to give it up. And for some, it would be great if they had more diligent prayer surrounding them. but there always has to be that cooperation of the will of the person. And so in the Unbound model, we're calling forth the person's response of the will to God and to truth and to honesty about what's in the heart, because we know that the enemy's work and presence in a believer's life has a foundation stone and has an entryway. And so what we want to do is help them to close it. And that can be exposed, you know, through diligent prayer and intercession of Our Lady and prayer and fasting. And, you know, so it, the Unbound model is one piece of the whole vast resources of the Church's grace and mercy that's available to us as believers.
Well, I've made a bit of a study of this because of a circumstance in my immediate family. And I would have to say that Unbound is, I believe, the most definitive formulation of deliverance in the Church. Gabriel Amorth, the Vatican, famous Vatican exorcist, wrote the book literally on it, identified the different layers of it, the infestation, the oppression, which is very prevalent, and of course the possession, which is very rare. A very powerful force in this ministry, of course. Recently, a young Ugandan priest by the name of Joseph Semakula, who wrote The Healing of Families. There was some controversy surrounding it, whether or not it was worthy of an imprimatur, but he identified four access points for the demonic, one of which you've covered, which is the childhood wound, for lack of forgiveness of others who have injured you in your childhood. Now that metastasizes into a rather toxic inability to allow grace to penetrate so forgiveness can flow and freedom can follow. But he also talked about fooling around with the paranormal. He talked about having bad relationships, friendships with people that were up to no good, that could infect you in very serious ways. And finally, you know, a lot of the passage of these problems through genetic bloodlines. And my question is, without getting too deeply into any of it, how did you how do you assess those findings or disclosures on his part, these four access points through which the demonic gains an entry and holds on for dear life in our lives?
Well, actually, we in our conference, in our books, we cover the first three of those pretty thoroughly. By the way, our next local conference is in November, November 18th and 19th. And
where's that going to be, Neil?
That's going to be at St. Peter and Paul's in Westchester.
Beautiful. And, 18, 19 November, which is a Friday and a Saturday at St. Peter and Paul in Westchester, very nearby, within a half hour of here.
Yep. So so if someone's interested in more, going deeper, that would be a great thing. We also have a wonderful opportunity. The Office of Evangelization for the Archdiocese of Philadelphia is sponsoring us to speak in four different places throughout the diocese to give an introduction to Unbound to clergy and parish staff and parish leaders. So,
by the way, this is a really profound development because I know you've been laboring in the vineyard for many, many, many years, and if I can put it this way, probably shouldn't, but could barely get arrested in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. And here now they're rushing to open doors and hold them open for you. And I can only remark, just my personal assessment, that, boy, times must be getting pretty dark for the Church of Revelation 3 to be holding that door open and saying, in effect, now is the moment, because you've held fast to the truth and clung to it. I will open a door for you through which great things can happen and many, many will be saved. And I have to think that your ministry, Neil, you and Janet, is part of that.
And let me go back to the question that I took that little rabbit trail on. The fourth issue about the bloodlines, we We put an emphasis on the person ending it in their life, recognizing what may have come to them. So we may ask them questions about, we always ask about their parents. You know, if they're an angry person, was your mom or dad angry? You know, if you're a fearful person and anxious, was your mom or dad anxious? You know, so we always take it that far, and sometimes we go to grandparents. Do you know anything about your grandparents? Or do you know anything about your mom or your dad's relationship with their parents? And sometimes that will unfold things that that just need to be dealt with, that they're stories that were told that they never knew how to deal with, or things they heard, or, you know, and so on. But I'm not precisely familiar with Father Joseph's approach on the bloodlines, but, you know, for us it's like, okay, so my grandfather was, or my great-grandmother was a psychic, you know. So, well, you know, there's the breaking of the power of any word she spoke over her generation. It's renouncing the spirit that operated in her, any spirit that manifests itself in your mother, and breaking the power of any claim that was made upon my life. People in the occult, especially family members, they will make claims or have prophecies about the next generation or the third generation of someone who is going to have the gift or something like that. And each of us, as we're in Christ, we have the authority to break that power of that. And sometimes we're so afraid of the unknown that we don't deal with what is known, and we just deal with it simply and precisely, and just say, in the name of Jesus, I renounce any spirit that came to me through that. I renounce any spirit that came to me when my mother took me to that seance, in the name of Jesus. And just going through it, taking the authority that we have as children of God for our lives.
You know, Neil, in the minutes, 2 minutes that we have left, I just wish our listeners could have a better sense of the importance of your ministry and where they could find more information about it and how they could share that information with loved ones and their families, because, like you, I see so many families that are struggling with disunity and all kinds of spirits that are not of the Lord. And I don't think in my time, I'm coming up on 70 this fall, I don't think I've ever seen a time where there was more a greater need for healing within families and, of course, the individuals within a family. Tell our listeners where they could get more information. Obviously, Heart of the Father Ministries, the website. But
yeah, heartofthefather.com is our website, and there you'll find a lot of information. You'll find our schedule, where we're going to be. And the place that most people start is over with is my book Unbound that Brian, you've mentioned, and there's well over 150,000 in print.
Wow.
In 14 different languages, and so it's really made an impact, and that would be a great starting place. We have videos and CDs and a conference and training for people and how to minister the way we've learned to minister. And so there's all kinds of things available, but the most important thing is to get started. And that would be Reading Unbound would be a great starting place.
Well, I commend it to all of our listeners. I commend you for your astonishing work. Long time in the vineyard, my friend, but my God, has it proven fruitful. And it seems never more so than at this moment, and a moment that certainly, Holy Mother Church, if she wishes to renew the face of the earth through the power of Christ, needs this and other ministries to be very, very fruitful. Neil, I can't thank you enough on behalf of our listeners. I just commend you and Janet, your wonderful son, Matt, your entire ministry, all the good that you do for so, so many souls. Thank you for being a guest, and I must ask you, would you please come back sometime?
That would be a pleasure. And thank you for your service and for In His Sign Network for so many years of faithfulness.
Thank you. Well, I accept that on behalf of Kathleen McCarthy and Harry and Maureen and all the great people here at In His Sign Network. And I ask all of our listeners to remember the network in their prayers and in their generous contributions, because it is an important work at an important moment. And we ask, as we always do, Our Lady's blessing on this network and on all its listeners, and in particular today, the Feast of John the Baptist, on Neil Lozano, Janet Lozano, Matt Lozano, and Heart of the Father Ministry. Thank you, and we'll see you all next week. Thank you.
Thank you for tuning in to Our Recourse. We are grateful to our sponsors and to Kathleen McCarthy and In His Sign Catholic Radio for bringing this show.